Hello, and welcome to the website of the Washington County Coalition for Children. My name is Susan Orban, and I'm the Coalition Coordinator. We have worked with Dr. Ellen Flannery Schroeder and Rachel Baldwin from the University of Rhode Island to provide information about childhood anxiety disorders to parents. In a recent survey conducted with local doctors and service providers for children by South County Physicians Initiative, anxiety was identified as a major mental health concern for children in Washington County. To address this mental health concern, we have created a series of podcasts geared toward parents which address issues related to anxiety, including what is childhood anxiety? What are the different anxiety disorders? What can I do to reduce my child's anxiety? And what can I do if I suspect my child has an anxiety disorder? Some parents may find it helpful to listen to the podcasts on childhood anxiety and the various anxiety disorders before listening to this one. The current podcast is intended to offer suggestions to parents regarding things they can do to help their child manage his or her anxiety. Rachel, can you tell us some of the information you share with parents when their child is diagnosed with an anxiety disorder?
Sure, Susan. It is important to first understand what the parent believes about their child's anxiety. Having a child that is struggling with anxiety can impact a parent in a variety of ways. Some parents are concerned that their child's anxiety is their fault. There is a genetic component to anxiety disorders, so often one or both parents have had their own issues with anxiety. They may be concerned that they gave their child the anxiety disorder, or they taught them how to be anxious through their own behaviors. Other parents may be experiencing frustration with their child's anxiety. The child's behavior related to their anxiety may be interfering with family life or embarrassing to the parent. Still others may not feel their child's anxiety warrants concern. Our first step with parents typically involves removing blame, dispelling myths, and establishing goals for their child and family. Even if a family chooses to seek treatment from a professional for their child's anxiety, parents will be central in managing their child's anxiety. We consider parents' role to be central in the treatment of anxiety, involving them in all phases of treatment and offering workshops for parents of anxious children. We want to share a couple of parenting approaches that have proven helpful in supporting kids with anxiety, including modeling, developing an emotions vocabulary, gathering evidence, and rewarding success.
Part of the challenge of parenting anxious children is that there's a certain amount to it that's quite counterintuitive. A natural response for any parent who sees their child in distress is to try to comfort them and remove whatever is distressing them. The problem is, when parents do this for an anxious child, they're often actually encouraging or reinforcing the anxiety. A common response to anxiety is avoidance. Children with anxiety disorders often devote so much effort in avoiding situations that make them anxious that it begins to interfere in their everyday life. When a parent comforts a child and removes them from the anxiety-provoking situation, the parent is encouraging the child's avoidance behaviors and reinforcing the child's belief that the thing that caused the anxiety should be feared or avoided. When we meet with parents, we encourage them to help their child approach the stressful situation in gradual steps rather than to avoid it altogether. This means that when a parent sees their child experiencing anxiety, they often need to resist the urge to offer resistance. Instead, they should offer praise, attention, and affection when their child shows courage in the face of fear or uncertainty.
It really sounds counterintuitive in many ways for parents.
It is, exactly.
One helpful strategy parents can use is to model appropriate responses to anxiety. I'm going to use an example of a child's anxious response to seeing a dog and three possible responses their parent could have. Each of the different responses conveys a different message to the child about themselves and their anxiety. Let's imagine a child, Amanda, who's afraid of dogs and has been invited to a birthday party by one of her classmates. Amanda has been looking forward to the party all week. She's never been over her classmate's house before and excitedly runs up to the door with her carefully wrapped present in hand and her mother at her side. When they ring the bell, Amanda hears a dog barking inside. Her body immediately tenses up. She turns and runs back to her car. When her mother arrives at the car, Amanda says that she can't go to the birthday party and she wants to go home. Let's consider three possible responses from Amanda's mom. In one scenario, Amanda's mother wraps her in a warm hug and explains that of course she understands that Amanda can't go to the party because of the dog. She apologizes for not checking to see if the classmate had a dog when she accepted the invitation. She soothes Amanda, telling her that she doesn't have to go see the dog, and offers to bring the present to the house before they leave. In her earnest effort to take care of and attend to Amanda, her mother has communicated that Amanda's fear is reasonable and understandable. By letting her leave, she's also reinforced the idea that Amanda would not be able to handle the situation and that avoidance is the best way to manage feelings of anxiety. In another scenario, Amanda's mother marches back to the car, frustrated and embarrassed with yet another display of Amanda's irrational behavior in response to dogs. She takes Amanda's hand, determined to help her overcome her anxiety, and explain that she's being ridiculous and there's nothing to be afraid of. When they get to the house, Amanda's mother apologizes to the hosts for Amanda's behavior. She then walks over to the dog and kneels down in front of it, letting it jump up on her and lick her face. In this scenario, Amanda's mother is providing an example of how someone with no fear of dogs would behave, but not how a person with some apprehension of dogs would respond. In her attempt to help Amanda get over her anxiety, she's disregarded Amanda's feelings of anxiety. Amanda is only shown what appears to her to be a completely unattainable goal for how she should behave. In a final scenario, Amanda's mom walks back to the car to talk to Amanda. She says that she understands that Amanda was surprised that there was a dog and that she's feeling nervous. She acknowledges that she sometimes feels nervous too. She points out that the classmate's parents would not let the dog play with the children if it wasn't safe. She reminds Amanda how much she was looking forward to seeing her friends at the party. Together, they walk to the house, and when they enter, Amanda's mom points out that the dog is wagging its tail to show that it's friendly. She then encourages Amanda to join her friends in a game. As Amanda engages in the party, her mother praises her for being brave. In this scenario, Amanda's mom is modeling how to cope with a stressful situation. She encourages Amanda to gather evidence as to whether this is truly a dangerous situation, demonstrates behaviors that would be reasonable for Amanda to emulate, and praises her for her success. She has recognized Amanda's anxiety and demonstrated confidence in Amanda's ability to manage it.
In that last scenario, there seemed to be several factors that contributed to Amanda's and her mother's success. Can you break down and explain the key components of her approach?
First, Amanda's mom began by talking to her about how she felt. Helping children to identify their emotions is an important first step. It can be surprising for some parents how difficult it is for some children to name how they are feeling. As a first step, a parent can encourage their child to see if they can tell how other people feel by looking at pictures in books or in magazines. In the process, you can help them identify what people's bodies do when they feel different emotions. For example, point out smiles on happy people, wide eyes on frightened people, and clenched jaws on angry people. From there, you can encourage your child to figure out what their body does when they are feeling anxious. Everyone has their own response to anxiety. Some people tense the muscles in their shoulder, bite their lips, get butterflies in their stomach, or feel their heart race. Being able to identify what anxiety feels like helps children know when to combat it before it gets out of hand.
It's also important to help children challenge their fears. With anxiety disorders, the fear and reaction are unrealistic based on the situation. It's not that the situation is causing the problem, but rather the child's assumptions or thoughts about the situation that are leading to anxiety. Some common thinking errors children with anxiety make when they're assessing a situation are catastrophizing, all-or-nothing thinking, and focusing on the negative while disqualifying the positive. Catastrophizing involves a child believing the worst possible scenario is what is most likely to occur, even when the risk is low. For example, a student, John, is worrying about an upcoming test and is convinced he's going to have to repeat the fourth grade if he doesn't do well on the test. In this situation, John's parents could help him better gather information about how likely it is that he would actually do poorly on the test, or that performance on this test would lead to having him to repeat a grade. The parent could help John review his past success, consider what goes into holding a child back in school, and assess what he has done to prepare for the test. Through this process, the parent can help John consider more likely and reasonable outcomes. When a child is using all-or-nothing thinking, they are viewing events as either all good or all bad. If we think about John again as he prepares for his test, he could make an all-or-nothing error in how he thinks about what doing well means. For John, anything but a perfect score or an A would constitute a failure. To help John challenge this type of thinking, his parent could encourage him to become aware of the all-or-nothing words he's using and adjust them with more realistic words like sometimes or often. Practice finding the middle ground on issues and consider exceptions to the extremes. Another error children often make is focusing their attention on the negative and disregarding the positive. In John's case, he may be thinking that his past success on tests were due to luck or the test being too easy, not his own skill. At the same time, he may focus on a particular item he got wrong before or just a few quizzes or tests where he did poorly as reflection as his lack of ability and more predictive of future performance. John's parents can help him begin to challenge his assumptions about the positive things he does as not counting or not being as valued, and question the severity and weight he is placing on things that he has struggled with. The goal for parents in this strategy is to help their child develop more realistic thinking about a situation. It's not that parents have to be praising and reassuring kids about things that aren't true about them, but really helping them consider how accurate they are in the way they're thinking about their skills and themselves.
Finally, we want parents to feel comfortable and confident in praising their children when the child takes on something that's challenging for them. When we work with kids, we ask them to rate how hard they tried, not how successful they think they were. In other words, we encourage them to reward themselves for effort and not outcome.
While these are all techniques that we encourage families with children with anxiety disorders to use, they can be helpful with other children. For the child who has not developed an anxiety disorder but seems to be struggling with anxiety, these approaches can help them develop skills that can improve their functioning and reduce the risk of developing an anxiety disorder.
We hope this introduction to parenting strategies that can help children manage their anxiety has been helpful and informative. On the website, you can download additional podcasts about childhood anxiety, including topics such as an introduction to childhood anxiety, definitions of anxiety disorders, and treatment options. We've also included a reading list for parents who may want to take a more in-depth look at certain topics.